and welcome back to another episode of the Fleekazoid Podcast, chocolatey music intro edition. Really quickly, this podcast was recorded over the course of days, and you guys are going to hear me fluctuate up, down, and all around. I apologize in advance, but just know that, yes, I do come up, and I do come back down. Okay. Back to the episode. The idea behind today's topic is that maybe you have tried romanticizing your life. Maybe you even tried being DeLulu. Prior to recording this episode, I didn't listen to anybody's videos or takes on like being DeLulu or romanticizing your life, so this is coming straight from the top of my head. The people who have spoken on these topics many moons ago prior to me have had some valid ass things to say and a lot of helpful advice that I'm sure has benefited you guys. So I'm not here to take away from it today or take a dookie on it. I actually think they're right. This is for the people who have tried, but they need a round two kick in the ass. So here I am today. It's not even about necessarily being broken up with, but I know that being broken up with or not having a romantic partner in your life can make it feel very dull. I want to talk about how to bring excitement back into your world and narrative as well. I know for myself, I felt this during times when I've lost a job, or when I was bored as fuck with my job, or when I felt like I couldn't even find the right job. I felt this in regards to dating and the way that I was telling myself to think about dating at the time. And I've also felt this with like my general position as like, who's my identity? What is my character? What is my inner narrative right now? There were months where I just felt like I was mute. I didn't have any thoughts. I didn't even want any thoughts, honestly. So let's get into it. Let's talk about how to re-romanticize your life. The word to perfectly describe this feeling in my mind is the word ennui. To feel ennui is to feel stagnant, to feel no growth, to feel no excitement from your day to day. I would say the difference with ennui and being a doomer, go listen to that other podcast if you're interested in that topic, by the way, is that when you're a doomer, you're watching the news every day and like looking for things that reaffirm your horrible view of the world. With ennui, it feels so personal and intrinsic to your character. I feel like the ennui energy can vary because sometimes it can be about romance, it can be about your job, it can be about your inner narrative, or it can be all of the above or one or two things. I felt it with romance and my job at times, but not with my identity. Then I felt it with my identity solely. And I think the times when I felt it about my job, it was like, oh my God, I'm not challenged here. I'm not learning here. I'm literally dying here. I've had times when it came to romance that I'm feeling it in regards to being with somebody I'm committed to that I absolutely want to get away from. Like they make me want to be single and I'm not a person who wants to be single. Just like being unfulfilled in my relationships. Or sometimes I'm just unfulfilled with being single. I'm looking for a relationship to bring me fulfillment. Friendships can also give you ennui, which is so sad because it's like friendships make the world go round. Yeah, we do need to be friendly with people. Being social is very important. However, there are friendships where maybe you get bullied. Maybe you're misunderstood. Maybe they stand more to gain by being associated to you than you to them, and they take advantage of it. The point of today's topic is that whether it's your friends, your family, your career, or just your inner sense of narrative, how do you wake up every single day and say, this is the purpose, this is the meaning, this is the reason why I'm doing everything that I'm doing, because this is where I'm headed and this is who I am, and I'm solidifying that with each and every day and every decision I make. All right, now to the fun part, how to re-romanticize your life. Right off the bat, stop telling yourself, only pretty people do that. Only smart people go after those things. Only people who are lucky take those types of chances. You are smart, you are pretty, you are lucky. Say fuck it and be the pretty girl, be the smart person, do the things that lucky people do. Really early on, way back in high school, I had this exact mentality. I used to be in the FFA, which just means that I was a girl who was taking agriculture classes. I took agriculture 1 and I took agriculture 2. And one thing that happened in these classes is that there would be this little place where we kept the bunnies and all the pretty girls would go with the bunnies and they would go take selfies. And it was like, I would see them and I would think, oh, I want to take a selfie with the bunny, but I'm not the pretty girl. And then I remember I told my boyfriend at the time, he's like, but yeah, you are. What do you mean? To him, it was like, I wish you would have taken a selfie with the bunny. So whether it's about doing things that smart people do, doing things lucky people do, doing things writer people do, whatever that adjective is to describe you, start telling yourself that you're gonna do those things because that's what you are. Stop limiting yourself. That's literally what it is. I just described self-limitation, but in terms of the titles that we identify as. Start identifying with the things that you say that only XYZ type of people do. One of the ways I've been doing this in my life recently is by telling myself, oh, only pretty girls shop there. Only pretty girls do those types of things to their hair. Only girls who are fashionable shop at those locations. And I'm like, bitch, I am fashionable. I am pretty. I'm gonna start shopping there. Same thing with like places that I wanna live at too, right? I'm like, oh, only successful people can live there. Only people who make good incomes can live there. bitch, I qualified to move in there, right? I did. Yeah. So I'm going to take the opportunity and like, I'm going to go live there. I'm going to make the upgrade. I don't have to be anywhere I don't want to be that doesn't excite me. I've grown up with a lot of financial insecurity. So for me, these things, these activities mean a lot that I'm doing them for the first time and giving myself permission to think of myself that way and move through life this way. All right, point number two, what I want you guys to do is make a new playlist for this version of you that you are becoming, creating, or giving yourself permission to be. And I'm saying whole new ass playlist. I want you to shake shit up. I want you to go into Spotify, find one song that you like, tap listen to the radio, and then just add 5 songs. And then find another one of those songs from those 5 songs, add 5 more songs. Do it until you have at least 1 hour of music worth that you can drive to and think about your new world to. It should make you feel emboldened. It should make you feel alive. It should make you feel present in the moment. And it should have you fantasizing about your future or who you're going to become. My Spotify playlist is public. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this yet, but I make a playlist for every single year because I kind of go into it with that same mood. And sometimes I even make spin-off playlists because I'm over here creating my new fantasy version of myself in ways that like are not very open and brazen to the public. And you can see me in real time going from jazz to old funk to like modern rap. But it doesn't really matter what it looks like on the outside to other people. All it matters is how you're internalizing that music, how it makes you feel, and if it's getting you to a place where you're thinking about where you are now and your new identity. Some playlists of our past happen in a way where we picked one song for a very intentional purpose and another one for another purpose, to the point that when we go down those playlists audibly, we're reliving the past. We're telling ourselves old stories, old tragedies, or even things and times that were like not the best that make us feel bad about ourselves that we don't want to relive. So that's the whole point of this. One half of it is making the playlist, but the other half of it is telling yourself a new story about you. The next item on the list is starting a new routine. The cool thing about this one is that you can start in baby steps. It doesn't have to be anything major like doing 20 crunches every morning. It can be going to a new grocery store, taking a different way to work, taking a different way back home, or maybe even just changing the drink that you have every morning. Of course, to see any type of long-lasting change, it has to be one, a consistent one, and two, something that's realistic and sustainable. So you can start super small, you can start stacking. For me, I think like way back in 2021, I started just like having a walk routine, then it turned into a walk and a gym routine, then it turned into walking and gymming and running. So think about it that way, right? Like you might do one thing and think, hey, I think I'm ready to try something new and stack on top of that. Now, some of you guys might not be in college, some of you guys may have never gone to college, but when I used to go, I would choose a different thing to do every semester, and that was how I would kind of reinvent myself. Like one semester I had like a weightlifting class, one semester I had a yoga class. Sometimes I would even switch campuses up. And like I said, it doesn't have to be radical. You don't have to flip over your entire world, but you can even do these little things that bring about new versions of yourself, or they bring you to react in ways that you didn't know that you could unless you were in that circumstance. It helps you learn about yourself and it helps you redefine the way that you move through the world. So obviously I can't tell you what new small habit that you should take on, but I think start where it seems the easiest and think about like what is the most dramatic thing you can do and really entertain if you can actually make that happen. Full transparency here, one of the ways I'm doing this right now is by getting out of this current apartment and moving into a new one that is bougie. And I'm like, yes, finally a place that is as pretty as me. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's the tea. So get something that makes you feel like that. Final note on this topic before I move over to the next point, don't be self-limiting with this one. Think about all the ways that you can actually do it and think about where it could potentially lead you one day. And think about like the actual version of yourself that you're excited to become. Get something that makes your heart race and that makes you wonder if you could really do it and how crazy and wild it would be if you actually did, because it would be so fucking awesome. This next point was inspired by the podcast Unmasking the Abuser by Dina. I highly recommend you guys go listen to it. But this one is commit to yourself no matter how you feel. This one involves a little self-discipline, but the idea is that if you said you were gonna go get those groceries, but you forget one item on the list and you're like in the parking lot, you turn around, you go back in the store and you get that item. Or maybe you woke up late, but you told yourself, hey, in the morning, I'm gonna do my laundry. I know I've had times where I'm like, oh, looks like I might as well just not do it. No, don't do that. Stick to it, do the laundry, get it done anyways, even if you are set back. Sometimes when we get depressed, we don't want to brush our teeth. We don't want to take care of our skin. We don't even want to shower. But this is one of those things where it's like, commit to yourself. Don't end the day without doing that task. If you want to take it a step further, I know people who don't even call these things tasks. They call these things rituals. Do not end the day without doing the ritual. But of course, this is all within reason. If it's midnight and you notice you didn't do any of your tasks or daily rituals, go to sleep, tell yourself you'll do it tomorrow. but make sure to commit to yourself and that you're actually attempting to get the majority of those things done. So much of getting things done is just holding the thought in your head and not letting it escape you and making it the only thing that you focus on. He says that when he really wants to procrastinate, he gives himself two options: sleep, because he genuinely needs it, or do the task at hand. If he catches himself thinking, oh, but I need to clean, or I need to shop, or I want to scroll online, or I just want to see some tweets or check the news, he knows he's procrastinating. So give yourself those two options: lay in bed and do legitimately nothing, or do the item at hand that needs to be done. And this is something that sounds so great while you're listening to it in real time, but when the opportunity presents itself, it's like, oh, you want to do everything but actually sleep, or, you know, the item at hand. It's like, no, I just want to procrastinate. So I get it. I get it. The next item on the list to re-romanticizing your life is stop telling yourself things are hard. Start speaking to yourself positively. This is another one from Dina McMillan's podcast on Masking the Abuser. 10 out of 10, recommend. So much of this is just speaking to yourself like a cheerleader, but you can't be poking holes in everything and expect yourself to, one, feel good about it, two, be motivated to do it, or three, actually see it as something that you can tackle in one day. If you're telling yourself that things are hard or it's impossible or you might as well not even try, where's the motivation? No, don't do that. Start telling yourself, I can get this done in 1 hour. I can get this done in one day. I can do that. This is something that I know if I just tried a little bit, I would be able to do. This is something that I might not be perfect at, but I know that I can definitely do it. Other things you can tell yourself are, it's worth it. If I do it, I'll be so much happier for it. I may not feel like I want to do it right now, but I know I'll be better off having done it and I'll be happier by the end of it. Remind yourself that the time is going to pass anyway, so you might as well get it done. And also, be positive to yourself. Don't be a bully, don't be mean, don't call yourself stupid, don't beat yourself up into doing things that are good for you. Positive reinforcement works. Start being the positive friend that you are to other people, but to yourself. People think that when they practice self-compassion in this way that they're gonna start slipping up more left and right, but really, self-compassion is telling yourself that even if you do mess up, it's gonna be okay. What are you gonna do next to move on? And realizing that moving on is not that hard to do. The next point into re-romanticizing your life and redefining who you are and making your life exciting again is practicing extreme presence in the moment. When you are present in the moment, the past cannot hurt you, the future cannot hurt you. If you're not actively dealing with it, and if you're not actively looking at it, it's not a part of the current moment. So when you're being present in the moment, it's feeling that moment of safety and soaking into it and just allowing yourself to be happy with it and not worrying about the past, the future, or anything that's not immediately around you. Have you ever been driving home from work and you're still thinking about work? That's you not being present in the moment. Have you ever been at the gym and thought about something someone did that pissed you off, maybe like hours ago or days ago? That's you not being present in the moment. So being present in the moment is almost like snapping at yourself and being like, hey, come back. And the moment that you do come back and you're like, oh, I'm at the gym right now, I'm about to lift a weight, that's when you can go, hey, welcome back. Back to not beating yourself up, right? Warmly welcome yourself back to being in the moment and start practicing that presence and awareness of when your mind starts to drift. Another reason why being present in the moment is so important is because it's important to acknowledge the impact that the decisions that you make today are going to have on tomorrow. And sometimes when you're thinking so far ahead in the future or you're only replaying the past, you let a lot of things around you either get neglected or you don't even realize how your lack of presence and lack of awareness of the moment is impacting yourself and the people around you. Presence of mind and being present in the moment is something that can be developed over time. I know I'm not perfect at it, but even knowing that that is something that you're prone to can be a good starting point. For me, I've developed a little practice of mentally snapping at myself and being like, hey, this is where you are right now. You're here. Time to focus. Like, come back to earth. Other people meditate for this. Other people go on walks for this. Other people do that method where they like look at three things that they can see immediately and things that they can touch. Do whatever you need to do to get present in the moment and to develop that within yourself. And if today was the first day that you realized, oh, hey, I'm not somebody who's present in the moment, that's still a really good place to start. Congratulations. At least now you're aware. Try typing in being present in the moment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Maybe you'll find a podcast that you like that talks about this. Some people may find it corny, but the present moment is a gift. The goal is to get to a place where you're not plaguing yourself over things you can do nothing about, and you're also not thinking so far ahead in the future where you have anxiety. The thing about being present in the moment is that everybody experiences it differently, but the main common factor is being grounded, and that's the goal to where you want to get to. For me, I just got to this place where it's like, right now I'm having a moment of safety. And then I realized, hey, today I had three moments of safety. If I wasn't freaking out about the past or the future, how many more moments would I have had? When you take out anxiety, rapid thinking, dwelling in the past, you're able to think about where you are right here, right now, and all the things you can do with that current moment, not these things that you can't do anything about because they're so out of reach. So start there. When you start thinking about a person, an event, a situation that's either in the past or in the future, you're not being present in the moment. Start by acknowledging when you dwell in those moments for too long mentally. Now moving on to the next point, which has kind of been talked about somewhat a little bit in the other points, practice extreme self-compassion. And by this, I mean, sometimes you literally just have to talk to yourself like you're a little baby. One of my mutuals does this, shout out to Life Coach Leo. But the main idea with this one and why it's so important is because it goes back to the way that you talk to yourself. If you feel a strong emotion or you catch yourself breaking down and your immediate reaction is, oh my God, you're so stupid. Why do you always do that? Why do you act like that? Get over it. That's you trying to bully yourself, not you showing yourself self-compassion. If you were to be showing yourself self-compassion, you would be like, hey, it's gonna be all right. Don't worry, it's gonna be okay. Maybe this happened this time, but you know, who knows what's gonna happen next time. Being gentle with yourself, like gentle parenting. It's literally reparenting. So start there with your self-compassion. Validate yourself. Give your emotions a name, give them a feeling. Tell yourself it's okay to feel them. Be like, yeah, that was shitty that someone did that, or that this is awful that it's going on. Obviously, process your emotions in a way that's responsible. Don't give them to other people to process in real time. Sit with them, think about them to yourself. For me, what I like to do is once I can finally find a name for it, I try to see if I can find a podcast of somebody talking about it. Then when I already have like 50 or 60% of the thoughts that I need to have about that emotion, I can take it to somebody else and we can have a conversation about it that's like insightful. Instead of me handing them my emotion spaghetti and being like, here, go fix it. Oh, and by the way, I've been really mean to myself about feeling these things too. But rewinding back to square one, I want you to be so fucking nice to yourself whenever you have an emotion that feels intense or strong. And I don't want you to sit there beating yourself up like, oh, why am I like this? Why can't I just be normal? Tell yourself it's valid. I love you. We're gonna get through this. Strong emotions feel really intense in the moment, but they come and they go. And just like you felt something right now that feels really bad, you're gonna feel something that makes you feel really happy that's also gonna be fleeting, and that's okay. Some of us are just literal teenage babies in grown adult 30-year-old bodies, okay? Not me. I'm in a 28-year-old body. All right, let's move on. This next one is allow yourself to change. Now, I know you didn't think that you were gonna re-romanticize your life and your entire identity by staying the exact same. No, allow yourself to change and do it without the judgment of the people around you. Now, that may seem impossible because if they follow you on social media, it's like, that's literally something that I cannot do. Well, that's the point. Do it knowing that they're watching and don't give a single flying fuck. Because I've said it before and I will say it again. It would be weird as hell if year after year went by and you were exactly the same. In fact, I would dare to even say that you might just be doing it wrong. And what is it? Life. Let's admit the obvious. Change is scary. For myself, change can even invite flops. And when I say flops, it's like, oh, I'm gonna change my eyeliner, my mascara. It can be a financial flop. It can be the way that I physically show up. It could even be just like deciding to dye your hair before your wedding, right? Like you can do a change and do some damage. But for the most part, you can do a change and you can grow in ways that you didn't know were possible. There are times when being willing to try new shoes, new outfits, or even new hairstyles led to me being like, wow, I look fire like this. This was a really good decision. And there are other times when I didn't even realize how I was holding myself back by staying stuck with one method, one style, or one just like routine. This can go beyond aesthetics too, right? Like I used to be a girl who was all about her chicken nuggets. You don't have to stay stuck as the chicken nugget girl. You can become the salad girl whenever you want, or the smoothie girl. You can do anything. My main recommendation though is that you don't want to introduce too many changes all at once. It's kind of like skincare. If you introduce 5 new steps to your routine, you're not going to know which one's giving you acne. So don't change too many things at once because you want to see what's actually working. Maybe just give it 1 week, 2 weeks, right? Maybe you make one investment a month, whatever's actually feasible and something that you can actually keep track of and manage. Because as much as I would love to tell you like, hey, you can speed run your way into re-romanticizing your life or doing something that makes you feel better or makes your life better, I can't. It's not true. Re-romanticizing your life is probably something you're gonna have to actively do and fight at. Going back to the topic of people judging you, you need to remember that your life is about you and it's not about them. Now, obviously, if you're changing in ways that can be dangerous to you, like maybe invite, I don't know, the loss of your job, or maybe bullying that you can't afford to like move away from, don't do that. Stay safe first. Priorities, okay? But so much of the priorities that people have in their mind are irrational. It's like, oh yeah, I gotta stay safe and make sure I don't change too much or else my hater-ass townie group of locals are gonna start hating on me. No, fuck it. Change so hard that you ascend above and beyond them. Maybe there might be a little bit of downtime where you don't find your tribe because you changed so hard. But that could be a good thing because it gives you time with yourself and it gives you time to really like process. Who were those people to you? Why would they not like you changing more into you? Because that's the thing. You don't change from this person that you're not. You change more into who you actually are. And yeah, you know what? Maybe the version of yourself that you had to be for your local townie hater-ass group was this digestible version that they could easily manage because you were playing it small. If you feel yourself playing small, if you even think like with a grain of salt, like that little grain of salt you think, I'm playing it small, girl, you're ready to change and you should be doing it unapologetically. So invest in your growth, invest in yourself. I know that this means that there are financial barriers, but if you have the opportunity to try new clothes, learn a new language, try a new craft, even if it's like new challenges that you present yourself with, like, hey, I'm gonna try to find every local trail in my area that I can walk, or even if it's like, hey, I'm gonna try to build stuff, do something different. Change in a way that is easily trackable, manageable, realistic, and attainable. For me, sometimes I get so antsy with wanting change that like I want to do it all at once, but then none of those changes actually stick. So if you actually do something that you can build on top of or something that you can like gradually grow into your lifestyle, that's gonna be a way that you can make it long-term and implement it into something that's like of substance. And with that being said, let's move into the next point, which is actually kind of like a version of all these other ones combined, but replace your old actions, locations that you visit, your routines with new ones. This is going to help you create a new narrative of your day-to-day life. I can't really tell you to re-romanticize a life that you're already living, so sometimes the easiest thing to do is to just pick up everything and start a whole new one. And the idea behind this is that you have no choice but to be present in the moment when you're confused or when you're navigating something that's foreign to you. You see this for people when they go from like community college to a university, or hell, even right out of high school to university, or maybe those people who like get a whole new job in a whole new state. This is so dramatic though. This is for the people who are like, yeah, fuck the baby steps. Like I wanna go from step 1 to 5. If you're there, you know you're there. Like you're literally shaking from left to right like that Kermit meme. And when I say it's the easiest way to do stuff, no, obviously picking up your entire life is not fucking easy. That is actually traumatic. I mean, it's the easiest way to get to re-romanticizing yourself because you find things to do to help you cope with those radical changes. And with that being said, the next point, which also ties into all these other ones, you want to become so clear about the story that you are telling yourself. And then you want to stop telling it and you want to craft a new one. Now, obviously, if you did the point before this one, you're already telling yourself that new story. You're already there. Honestly, that last point was for the pros. If you're the one that is doing the baby steps and trying to make everything sustainable, nothing wrong with that. Number 10 is definitely for you though. And point number 10, that's how it is in my notes. Getting clear with the story that you're telling yourself is asking yourself, how do I identify when I approach other people? What do I want them to know about me? When I break down who I am over time, what do they eventually find out? How much of this is tied into my inner narrative that I carry around with me? And if you went somewhere brand new, would any of that shit matter? Would you even tell people that? I don't know if anybody has ever seen the movie The Outfit. You can watch it on Amazon Prime if you have it. But the old man in the story, every time somebody asked him why did he move from the UK to America, like in Chicago, he has 3 different stories. And as the movie gets to the end, he peels back each story and the semi-gloss of lie that was behind each one. And the first story is so coy and so playful. He's like, I'm a tailor, and all of a sudden, you know, now it's the 1950s, everybody wants to wear blue jeans because it's cheaper and, you know, they don't require any tailoring. So men like me are useless out there. That's why I came to Chicago. Then it's like, oh, it's actually because something happened to my wife and my daughter. Then the real reason is revealed at the very, very end. It's that he had a life of crime back there. He wanted to get away from it. So then he moved to Chicago. Now, you don't have to have 3 stories or 5 stories behind you, but you just need to realize how is the one that you're telling yourself now impacting you or even like creating anxiety around relationships before they even form. A part of this goes into where you mentally spend your time too. Are you mentally spending your time in a place that makes you feel sad, it makes your heart race, and it makes you feel like, oh my God, like you want to start screaming aloud? You don't have to live with that, and you don't have to define yourself by your ugliest moments, because you are not your ugliest moments. I have an entire podcast episode about this. I want you guys to get to a place where you can start telling yourself a story that you're excited to share, not one that gives you immense anxiety. No, this doesn't mean that you have to be a capper. It doesn't mean that you have to tell people extravagant, amazing things. It can just be neutral. Unless it's something that you can physically see on you that you have to explain away, it's not a memory that you need to be keeping alive and like something that you should be preserving for other people's enjoyment. Because if you're not even enjoying it, why would they? The next point that I want to make here is that consistency is better than intensity. I talked about this a little bit throughout all the other points, but if you try to make it so that you see this growth overnight, like immense growth, you're going to punk yourself out and you're going to be like, oh, it didn't work. Doing a little bit of this every single day is going to get you to a place where you are eventually just doing it without even thinking about it. You want to get to a place where you are kind and consistent and patient. Give yourself the time, the space, and the room to adapt to stuff and to make mistakes. And that's another thing too. Sometimes you're not always going to have immediate success. A lot of the people who see success are the people who have failed like 100 or even 1,000 times. That's when people come out the other end as a winner because they know everything that won't work. That's something that you need to get comfortable with. It's okay to not always win, win, win. Sometimes you lose, lose, lose. After the biggest flop comes the largest slay, as they like to say on TikTok. With that being said, that doesn't mean keep trying the thing that's making you lose until you see it make you win. No, keep trying new and different things and changing and be willing to adapt. A lot of this is being open to the idea that you can learn, you can change. Not being closed-minded when it comes to the opportunities that are ahead of you. And by not being closed-minded, I mean not being self-limiting, actually seeing these things as attainable and achievable for you. Also, sometimes you gotta admit, like, other people know things that you don't. You have things to learn from other people. Some of the most self-limiting people think that they already got it all figured out while also being equally miserable. Make it make sense. Now, I was not planning on today's episode being twice as long than my normal ones, but I'm happy to give you guys a long episode. This is the end of it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope it helped. If you guys like my podcast and you want to follow me everywhere, I'm on Instagram as Fleeksy. I'm on Twitter as Fleeksy. I'm on YouTube as Fleeksy. I'm on TikTok as Fleeksy. Now, this podcast has its own YouTube channel. That one's called the Fleekazoid Podcast. You can go over there, you can like it, you can comment on it directly. I actually love to see what you guys have to say on the individual videos, so please go do that. Videos, episodes, you know what I mean. But also, if you guys like this episode, wherever you are listening from, whether it is Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave 5 stars, okay? Because I really like it and it helps me out and it helps other people find me. But for my Apple Podcast girlies, especially you queens, please leave a comment because it would help me out greatly. All right, okay, that's enough. Now, I think that's everything that I needed to say. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you so much for tuning back into this podcast episode. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And yeah, have a great day. Bye.